our visitors. I've been in this series that Jesus is God, but I'm going to ask that y'all let me step away from that this Sunday. Amen. Because God has just given me, I believe, a right now word that y'all would just allow me to step away from that series to go to somewhere else. Amen. Amen. And God has given me the title, amen, when I catch up to me. Amen. When I catch up to me. Amen. And so I was at home yesterday. My wife and I, I decided that I was going to have a lazy day and do nothing. And then I was just starting to do a little things on my computer, work on some stuff, just look at stuff. Amen. And I began to get tense and I began to get overwhelmed. And I end up just leaving out of the living room. I went and sat in my office. Nothing on, no TV on, no music on. Just sat in my office listening to the ceiling fan twirl around. Amen. And in my office, I have these shelves and these rows of books that go all around the office. Just looking at the books, talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, give me a word. Give me a word. It's just something I need to read right now. I was debating whether to pick up one of my journals and just read my journals. I do that sometimes to encourage myself to go back and see where the Lord has brought me from. So I'm just looking, scanning the books with my eyes as I'm sitting in the chair. Amen. And my wife texted me to see if I was all right. I told her I just needed a moment, that I was getting anxious. Amen. And as I was scanning the books, I saw this Bible. Amen. And versus pulling out my phone, I think I had left my phone in another room, because I do that sometimes when I get anxious. I pull out my phone, I open up the Bible, I read the scripture, and it brings me back. It centers me back. I looked up on the shelf and I saw this Bible. And you might just say, okay, Bible, he's going to read some scriptures. He's going to get himself back centered so he won't be anxious no more. Amen. And I pulled the Bible down off the shelf, and it blessed my soul before I even opened it, because it's my mother's Bible. It's my mother's Bible. And it's not even a sentimental thing, because my mother is still alive, and I'm grateful. Amen. But I pulled it, and I don't even know how I got it. I don't know how her Bible got in my house, because she's still here. And I opened up the first page, and it says it was presented to Deborah Ann Johnson by her sister on December 1997. Amen. And I don't even know how I got it in my house, but it blessed me, because all of these little sticky notes and all of these little things in the Bible are her notes, where she put sticky notes and she was reading things, right? And so I just started saying, Lord, where was I in 1997? And I was a junior in high school in 1997. And without telling too much of my testimony, I remember that being kind of when I know that the Lord, in hindsight, I know that's when the Lord shaped me. I'm going somewhere there. I know that's when the Lord shaped me in my manhood. And when I say in my manhood, I remember vividly the day I was sitting and I said, Lord, when I get married and when I have kids, I'm going to be this type of man. That was in 1997. And that was directly tied to what my mother was going through in her marriage in 1997. And so when I open up this Bible and I see the things that she had bookmarked, and I see the day that it was given and what she was reading and what was going on in her life, it blessed me, because it helped me to see that during I'm sure for my mother was one of the most difficult times in her life, she was in the Word. But that ain't all to the story. I'm flipping through, and I find this printout. And on this printout, it's from December 25th, 2001. And apparently, I had started to write a letter to the folks in my family. So in 2001, I was probably 22 years old. This is before I met my wife. This is before I started going to church. This is before I met my pastor. This is before I was saved. I was on my journey, and it just blessed me, because it gave me a glimpse into my mind when I was 22 years old, and I had wrote this letter, y'all. And I'm telling y'all, I was all over the place. I'm quoting the Quran in here. I'm talking about God doing all these things. I'm talking about the universe. It's like, it just showed me where my mind was when I was 22. Now, 2 years from here, 2 years from 2021, right? Or 3 years from 2021, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get saved and I'm going to give my life to the Lord. But it just blessed me because my mother thought enough of what I was saying to keep this letter, fold it up, and put it in her Bible. And I don't know, it just made me feel like she was praying for me too. Amen. While I was yet, right, in my sin, while I was yet all confused in my mind, while I was yet seeking for an answer, while I was yet seeking for the truth, my mother was praying for me. Where are you going with this, Pastor? Because when I catch up to me, I sit with this and I say, God, you've been working on me a long time. You were working on me before I knew you were working on me. If I would let y'all read this letter, I'm talking about God in a way, right? I'm telling you, I know that he's talking to me, but there's so many other things going in my mind that it's all jumbled up and it's all mixed up and it's all confused. But as I read that letter and I find it in my mama's Bible and I see that my mama was in the word and I know that my mama was praying for me, God was working on me before I knew he was working on me. Now he's just waiting for me to catch up to who he wants me to be. He's waiting for me to catch up and to be the person that he knew I was going to be before I was in my mama's womb. And he's waiting on you to catch up to you. I'm telling you, y'all, when you finally catch up to you, when you finally realize who you are in him, ain't nothing going to be able to stop you. Nothing going to be able to hold you down. Bad news won't even sound the same no more when you catch up to you. When you catch up to you. And so I'm going to be in 1 John today, and I'm only going to work with the first 10 verses. I'm only going to work with the first 10 verses. Right? And I read to you verse 2, but I'm going to go back to verse 1. And verse 1 says, see how much the Father has loved us. His love is so great that we are called God's children, and so in fact we are. This is why the world does not know us. It has not known God. When you give your life to the Lord, you become something new. You become something different. When you are born again, you become something new that the world does not recognize, right? You become something new. I look back at this letter and I say, God, you was trying to change me into something. I just needed some guidance and I just needed some direction. I'm quoting the Quran, I'm quoting the Bible, I'm quoting some of everything. And the Lord was just showing me that I was like I'm seeking. He understood my heart. I was seeking for the truth. It's like I was writing out all these things that we had to do to get closer to God. But my point is that I'm writing this out and I didn't even know him yet. But now I know him. Now I got the word on the inside of me. Now I know how to rightly divide it. I've seen and I know too much about him. Right? He's trying to make me into what he had in mind all along. And so it's this morning, God say, it's three type of people in this room. It's three types of people that need to hear what I'm getting ready to say. He said that you are either the type of person that needs to start the work. You need to hear that. You need to start the work. God had already, right? He's already pulling on you. He already tugging on you. He already trying to get your attention. He's allowed things to happen to you in your life to get your attention, to make you turn to him, to make you surrender, to make you give your life to him. He's been tugging on you. He was working on you, and maybe you ain't even picked up on it. And he's saying, today is the day that you can start. Today is the day that you can start, that I can start helping you catch up to be the person, catch up to be the person that I call you to be. Today is your day. That's one type of person. You just needed to hear this word and know that it's okay for you to start. No matter what you've been through, it's okay for you to start. Then the other person is, somebody needs to hear, keep doing the work. Keep doing it. You've already started. Don't stop running. Jordan, don't stop running. Malika, don't stop running. Keep doing the work. Keep doing the work. Eventually, you're going to catch up and you're going to be who you're supposed to be. The stuff that y'all going through right now is only a test. Keep doing the work. Don't stop running. Somebody needs to hear that. Don't stop. Don't let this world make you think that you're not going to make it. Right? My Bible says that when God starts a work, he is faithful to finish it. He's faithful to finish it. And then somebody else in here needs to hear, you've done the work. You've done the work. So keep working. So when you've done the work, you realize, you become wise enough. When you've done all the work, you done asked for forgiveness. You don't have no hate in your heart. You ain't holding nothing against people. You want to see people win. No matter what they done to you, no matter how they hurt you, your goal is only to see people saved. There's nothing that you won't give up for God. You sold out to him. Your life revolves around God. When you can say that you've done the work, and when you've done all that, you realize that even though I've done the work, there's still more work to do, and I won't stop working. And I won't stop working. Somebody need to start. Somebody need to keep going. And somebody need to have confidence that he got you. Somebody need to have confidence. That's the only thing that you missing. You got to have confidence that you've done the work. You ain't got to keep going back. You ain't got to keep going back thinking that it's not good enough. He's equipped you for a time such as this. God says, some of us, I'm going to drop this little nugget. I'm going to drop this little nugget. He says, some of us are concerned with chronos. That's chronological time. I see if I go on Facebook, I see these things, and I know this is the heavy month for birthdays in this church. I go and see, and we love, and there's nothing wrong. Celebrate your birthday. We concerned with chronos. We concerned with biological time. Been on the earth 40 years. Been on the earth 45 years. Been on the earth 46. Been on the earth 60. We concerned with chronos, right? God is concerned with kairos. That's his timing. That's his timing. And his timing is not like our timing. We should be focused on that. We should be focused on how long is it going to take me to catch up with eternity? That chrono's going to run out. This heart right here, this fleshly heart, it's going to stop beating. But eternity going to keep running. Eternity gonna keep running, but this chronological time, we spent all right trying to live out this life. By 35, I gotta be here. By 45, I gotta be here. By 60, I would have liked to accomplish this, right? And we running because eventually we're running and we pushing and we live our life because eventually we know that race, that part of our life is gonna end. But eternity gonna keep rolling. It's gonna keep rolling. And the word is clear cut. The Father loves us and he calls us his children. And so in fact, we are. When he say you his child, that means you his child. Right? And the world does not understand what it means to be a child of God. Verse 2 says, my dear friends, we are now God's children. Right? And y'all, I'm a preacher, y'all. I'm a preacher. And what I mean by that is, y'all got to understand that when John wrote this book, John ain't writing this book to the street, so he's talking to those that are saved. A lot of people think that they are children of God. A lot of people think that. And they can be. And they can be. But you have to surrender your life to the Lord. You have to invite the Lord into your life and say, Lord, save me. You can't attach yourself to the promises of God, and you don't want to attach yourself to God. So let's get that. Let's make sure that we understand that, because when I'm reading this word, I'm talking to the children in the house today. I'm talking to those who have attached themselves. He says, my dear friends, we are now God's children, but it is not yet clear what we shall become. Right? This little, that little day in my office, opening up my mama Bible, seeing this letter that I wrote when I was 22 years old, I had no idea that I'd be standing here at 45 preaching this message. And what John is saying is like, it's like he's trying to tell y'all, like, y'all are God's children. You don't even have an idea of the power that's in you. You don't even have an idea what God is trying to do in your life. You don't even have an idea of where he's trying to take you. Right? Because we get caught up with the right here and the right now and the present and the chronological. We get caught up with the right here and the right now. But he's trying to say, Tony, you don't even have an idea. You don't even have an idea of where I'm trying to take you and what I'm trying to pull you to. Give me the green one, Umba Bear. You don't even know what I'm trying to do with you. He says it's not clear what we shall become. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. I don't know what he's going to do with me. I don't know. Stop trying to figure that out. That's slowing some of y'all down because you're trying to figure God out. You're trying to figure him out. I look back over my life from 22 to 46, and it's been a great life. It's been a great life. And every single spot that he has me in or he has taken me through, it's been purpose. And that's hard for some people, because if you've been through something, if you done lost somebody, if you've been through some type of trauma, you saying that was playing for me too, Pastor? I sure am. Not that God wanted to happen. But Romans 8 and 28 tell me that he can even make those things that the enemy did to you to try to take you out. He can make that thing work out for your good. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't even know. You don't even know. I'm telling y'all, if y'all grab hold to this, if you understand the power that's in you because he is in you, you'll never be the same. Everyone who has this hope in Christ keeps himself pure just as Christ is pure. Y'all, I read this letter and I was just reading how confused I was. I write, you know, it's like looking in the, and that's what the word of God is supposed to do. It's a mirror. You're supposed to see yourself clearly if you really allow it to wash over you. If you really allow the word to wash over you. I read this letter and I see how confused I was at 22 years old. But one thing I can say is that my heart was pure. And that everything, all the errors, all the mistakes that I was making at 22, I don't make them same errors and mistakes anymore, because God was cleaning me up. He was purifying. He was being patient with me. He was teaching me. He sent me people to disciple me. He sent me people to correct me. He allowed me to go through things to teach me lessons. Through bankruptcy, through foreclosure, through disappointment on my job, through seeing people die around me, through hardships, to being lonely, to all of these things, all of that was designed to purify me, to correct my mistakes in thinking about God and how he moves and how he operates. And this is how you know when somebody is a child of God. Y'all read John. Read 1 John. It says it so clear how you can tell who's a child of God and who ain't. It says because everyone who loves Christ is going to be pure just like Christ. Whoever sins is guilty of breaking the law, because sin is a breaking of the law. You know that Christ appeared in order to take away sins and that there is no sin in him. So what John is telling me is that at 22, there was a Savior somewhere that died for me so that I wouldn't have to be like some of y'all. The same way you was at 22 is the same way you are now. And Christ ain't died for that. Christ died for you to be somebody different. He didn't die for you to go through trauma at 16 and still be dealing with the same trauma at 36.
Amen.
He's trying to change you into something else. Like he's trying to get you to catch up to who you really supposed to be. And all this mess that done happened in the middle is just a distraction. We try, like, y'all got to understand, you came from glory. We came from glory. He's trying to get us back to glory. That's Fred Hammond right there. Glory to glory. Right? That's where you came from. He's trying to get you back to it. He's trying to get you to catch up. He's like, come on, I got you, catch up. He's been working on you a long time. He was working on you, devil, you a liar. I don't even need it. That's why I ain't but five of us in here today, so y'all can hear me. Lord, I thank you. It says, so everyone who lives in union with Christ does not continue to sin. Y'all hear that? It don't say perfect. It don't say perfect, but you can't keep doing the same thing and then say you're a child of God. He like eventually, when I come into your life, the old you got to die, and then you got to start running toward the new you. You got to start running toward the you that I called and created you to be. Amen. So let no one deceive you, my children. Whoever does what is right is righteous, just as Christ is righteous. Whoever continues to sin belongs to the devil, because the devil has sinned from the very beginning. The Son of God appeared for this very reason, to destroy what the devil has done. Amen. Jesus came to destroy what the devil has done. What did the devil do? He tempted Adam and Eve to try to be their own God, to try to be like God. That's the very thing that he did to get himself kicked out of heaven. Right? But Jesus appeared to say, no, you are not God. You need me. You need a savior. And once you have him, you'll stop trying to, right? John is basically saying, once you have Jesus, you'll stop acting like the devil. And that's how you know. It's a lot of people in these streets. They preaching, they prophesying, but are they talking about Jesus? They telling you that your season of blessing is on the way. They know you, they grew up with you, so they prophesying, telling you, I know you're wondering why your children went through this. Well, you just had a conversation with them about your children. So that's how they know you're going through with your child. They telling you stuff that they already knew about you. And they prophesying, telling your breakthrough is coming. Something getting ready to happen. They telling you all of this to make you feel good. But are they talking about Jesus? When you read your Bible, it's not always feel good. It's tough choices. It's critical decisions. It's opportunities gained and it's opportunities missed. Right? John is saying it so plain that if you really have the Lord, you might not be perfect. But baby, you're not going to keep sinning. You're not going to keep sinning. Something is going to change and the new you going to start taking over from the old you. Your desire is going to change. God say, come on, like he say, catch up. Catch up. That's the devil. Like that song say, the devil want to steal, kill, and destroy. But we serve a God. We serve a God who does much more. Amen. Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy what the devil has done. Those who are children of God do not continue to sin, for God's very nature is in them. And because God is their father, they cannot. Y'all hear that? They cannot. They cannot continue to sin. Read Romans 7. Hallelujah. Paul says, no longer I that do it, but that flesh. What does Paul mean when he says that? He says just like, I don't know if it's the William Brothers, I'm giving y'all all the songs today. It's in my heart to serve the Lord. I know what my flesh be craving for. I know that it's hard for me sometimes to break away. But my desire in my heart, Lord, is towards you. That's how you know that you catching up with the person that you're supposed to be. When you stop, you ain't really got, Jesus won't let you be stuck in the miry clay. He won't let you be stuck in the same place. He won't let you wander in the wilderness all that time. God is saying, catch up. That 10th verse, John just going to break it down. He said, here's the clear difference between God's children and the devil's children. Those who do not do what is right or do not love others are not God's children. That thing is so plain. But Pastor, you saying I got to always do what's right. Here's the thing about God. Even when you do wrong and you got God, what you going to do when you realize you did wrong? You're going to go back and make that thing right. You can't do wrong. You can't do wrong and never make it right. You belong to the devil when you sit in you, when you okay with sitting in your wrong. God is saying, come on and catch up. Because I'm telling you, I'm going back to that second verse. You can't even see what you're supposed to be right now. At 22, I couldn't see it. And I'm saying all this to say because I finally feel like I'm getting close to catching up with me. I know I ain't going to care. Like, I know I ain't going all the way because it's say when I see him, then I'm going to really know what all is like by and by. I'm going to really know what it was all about. I'm going to really know why I went through this stuff. That's going to come. But I feel it right now. I feel it right now. And let me tell y'all something. From 22 to 46, y'all do the math. It took me, what was that, 24 years? 24 years. 25, because I ain't 46 yet. I'll be 46 this year. It took me all that time just to feel like I'm catching up to me. Y'all keep looking at social media and think God going to flip your life in a month because you come to church and you pay a little tithe money. Then God going to change your life around. Tell me how long they stayed in the wilderness. Tell me how long Moses was in Midian before he even got ready to set the people free. Tell me how old Abraham was when he had Isaac. That man 70, 80 years old before God even spoke to him and say, this is what I call you to do. That's what I'm talking about, Chronos versus Kairos.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, little time clock versus God time clock. God got to do a work in you.
It
takes some time. It takes time for him to get all that worldliness out of you. But my point is, the cardinal mind going to say, well, Pastor say it takes time for him to get that out of me so I can just sit in my mess for another 5 years and then God going to work it out. When enough time had passed. That's that cardinal mind. No. When you know to do better, what you supposed to do? Do it. You supposed to do it. Because, baby, when you catch up to you, when you realize, when you look in the mirror and you say, "What? I'm God's child. I'm God's child. I belong to the Lord. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions." Right? I'm a child of God. I can speak to a mountain and it's going to move. And I'm a child of God. It don't even take all that. All I got to do is have a little mustard seed. Right? I'm a child of God. When I step into the room, right? People can get saved because of my presence. Right? But you, what I'm talking about, yeah, if y'all could just feel what's going on the inside of me, it's power bubbling up on the inside of me, right? Because I'm catching up. I'm starting to catch up to who he's called me to be, right? He's taking me through this season on my job where every day is a difficult conversation. But God got my mind now, what can man do to you? Just had a conversation. This day gonna pass just like the next day. That's power right there. Because now I'm not spending months and weeks in anxiety for something I can handle right there in the moment because I'm God's child. Because I'm God's child, I can go on and knock this thing out. This thing ain't gonna bother me no more because I'm starting to catch up. I'm starting to catch up. God say somebody need to start. Somebody need to keep working. Let them finish it. Let them perfect it. Don't run. Don't run from the money trouble. Don't run from the tough time. Don't run from it. Stay in it. Embrace the wilderness. Embrace it. Because, baby, when you catch up,
amen, amen.
when you come out,
yes.
You're going to be who you're supposed to be. You're going to be who you're supposed to be.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, I had to cut myself off.
Amen.
Jesus.
Lord,
ooh.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when you catch up, Jesus, I ain't even get Ethan no headway.
Yes,
Lord, I thank you.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you. Y'all don't give up.
Yes,
don't give up. Don't give up. He got a plan for you. I guarantee you, somebody, somewhere, was praying for you. I thought about your mama. And we so short-sighted. We so short-sighted. God was saying, I was working on your mama. I had a plan for your mama before she even had you. Your mama was in the light. You preaching now, but your mama was in the word while you were still in the street. Right? You worry about all your family and all this stuff, and God say, I had them before you even realized. You got yourself together now, and you want everybody to be on your timeline. Everybody to get saved and do right on your timeline. But when you was out there in the world, you weren't worried about no timeline. God say, I control time. He said, I control time. And I got the whole world. I got the whole world in the palm of my hand. That's the God we serve. Lord, I thank you.